еще будто rumors around. Got a heart touch and I give it a best can. Then the run and be blind to the fast can. Taking no more, how can
it... This is Dane Wigington with another installment of the Real News Q&A. Purpose of this broadcast, we're from geoengineeringwatch.org. We are the world's largest data repository in the climate engineering issue, but we are addressing now other challenges that we face because all of us have had our lives turned upside down. That process is going to continue and accelerate, although very few are yet willing to consider that reality. And as we accelerate into next week and the what I would argue is orchestrated political theater that comes from those at the very top of the food chain, those that are not left, not right, not Democrat, not Republican, not conservative, not liberal, but it's those that try to pit all sides against each other. That is to their advantage. Those who try to distract the population from the wider horizon. And that's what we try to focus on at geoengineeringwatch.org. The wider horizon, what do we face? How much time do we have before we face unimaginable realities? And based on all available data, we do not have much time. So on this broadcast, would like to stick to the biggest building blocks of the threats we face so that listeners can understand they are not being told the truth, that the talking heads on mainstream radio that in between their commercials for some frivolous consumer product, they're simply passing on the official narratives from each side of the polarized script to, again, divide and conquer the population. And that's unfortunately what we face, and too many are still caught up in that. We need to get past that as quickly as we can. The climate engineers continue to cut off precipitation to the West Coast. They can do that for as long as they want. GeoengineeringWatch.org has tried to sound the alarm about that for well over a decade. And in spite of all our efforts, few seem willing to face that still because the official narrative denies it. And it feels better to deny that than to face the fact that our own government is involved with cutting off precipitation. The precipitation that does fall is toxic. We know this from about 70 lab tests in Northern California. So it's killing soil microbes. It's contaminating every breath we take. These contaminants are so small, they enter through the lung lining, go straight into the bloodstream. They're called nanoparticulates. They're unimaginably small. There's no air quality testing that looks for them. All of us, and this is ubiquitous, it's not just in Northern California. This is ubiquitous all over the globe, although we are hit particularly hard here in California because the moisture comes across us, and that's why we have so many days now with these featureless skies where there's very little precipitation falling. We don't have, quote, storms as we had in decades past. The lake behind the dam, Shasta Lake, is very low, just a trickle of water coming out of the Sacramento River. They can cut our precipitation off for as long as they want. That's scientific fact. It's not speculation or theory. So in addition to facing the COVID-19 scenario, which data would clearly indicate, all available information would indicate, is a power structure response to collapsing climate and environmental conditions. And the climate engineering operations, again, using weather as a weapon, is further fueling that collapse. So we're on a very vicious downward cycle. I want to get to as many questions as I can today. We're having a bit of technical difficulty. So for any callers that call in, please speak loudly and clearly so that I can hear you, because we're having some audio feed to my end difficulties. It's very, very low volume. So please send that through. And I think, Jared, we have a caller on the line now. Is that correct?
We do.
Okay. Can you pass him through? And we'll. They remain anonymous if that's correct. So you can pass them through, and let's take the first call and see how many we can get through today.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm a physician on the East Coast. Can you hear me clearly?
It's a little low, but I'll do my best. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in.
My main concern. Yes, sir. My main concern about geoengineering is the spraying of 10 to 20 million tons per year of nano-sized aluminum, which is a potent neurotoxin. It can cause neurodegenerative diseases and cognitive dysfunction, which as a physician I'm seeing every day. At a time when humanity needs to be able to think critically, that ability is being systematically taken away from us. Now, CV-19 is a genetically engineered virus. The journal research reference is, quote, a SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronaviruses shows potential for human emergence, published in Nature Medicine, Volume 21, pages 1,508-13, published in 2015. I encourage people, look at who did it in terms of the research, where it was done, and who funded it. As environmental chaos worsens, resources become scarcer, economic instability increases, and human consciousness rises, governments need a new enemy around which to coalesce a tremendous power and control structure called the Great Reset. Now, in October of 2020, Catholic Archbishop Carlo Maria Bagagna wrote, quote, the purpose of the Great Reset is the imposition of a health dictatorship aiming at the imposition of liberticidal measures. Now, in August 2020, the CDC said that among CV-19 deaths, only 6% of those were due to the virus itself. 94% of those cases were due to associated medical comorbidities. So when you hear a politician or the media talk about the number of deaths from CV-19, ask yourself, what would 6% of that number be? So as of this morning in the USA, we have 24,102,429 so-called positive cases, with a little over 401,000 CV-19-associated deaths. Now, that means that the 6% number of actual deaths due specifically to the virus is just over 24,000 people. And that gives a mortality rate of 0.06%. And recently, Dr. Anthony Fauci went on record saying that influenza mortality is only 0.1%. This is less than the flu. Now, compare that with CDC statistics of U.S. annual deaths from suicide, which is about 50,000 people a year, probably going to rise, and heart disease at about 500,000 people per year. And finally, I'll let you go. The so-called vaccine is not a vaccine. It is genetic modification that will make a person a genetically modified organism, a GMO. The so-called vaccine will cause your body's cells to permanently code for and produce what's called the spike protein, which is the protein on the outer surface of the viral envelope of the original strain of CV-19 used when these were developed. It will make your body design an immune response specific to that protein, causing you essentially to become permanently allergic to something that your body produces, and that is a definition of an autoimmune disease. Thank you very much for your time and taking our call.
Okay, caller, can you hang on 1 second? I mean, certainly you seem very versed. I want to back up to a few of the things you said on the reset. Yeah. Can you still hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, on the reset itself, I want to drive home this point for listeners, that does it appear that the global power structure is attempting a global reset? Yes, it certainly does, but I want to stress this, that nature has the last word in regard to reset, and that reset is happening. And I would argue that the biosphere collapse scenario has outpaced the power structure to the intersection. Now they're in a complete panic with moving their plans forward. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, 100%.
So with this, on the falsification of statistics at the moment, certainly that appears to be the case. I would agree with you completely on that. However, given the fact, and I completely agree with you as well, that the data makes crystal clear that this is an engineered pathogen, that should be the first and foremost subject of conversation in regard to this subject. But they can, and likely already are, releasing more virulent versions of this pathogen. They can stoke this fire as they deem they need to. And in regard to the aerosol dispersions, this at minimum is inflaming our respiratory system, making us all more susceptible to any pathogen, including CV-19. And these elements we're inhaling, climate engineering fallout, again, enough to cover the sky. And listeners should consider that. When there's enough material in the sky to cover the entire horizon, we're talking about, as was just stated by the caller, the annual stated goal of 10 to 20 million tons by the climate engineers of putting aluminum nanoparticulates, in the case of that particular element, into the skies. All of this comes down to the surface into our breathable air column. We're all inhaling it. Lab tests prove it. Peer-reviewed science study proves it. In fact, in cases of the bees, listeners can search bees/aluminum. Peer-reviewed science study exists to make clear bees are dying of massive aluminum exposure that's giving them symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being. So, Colin, before I let you go, I mean, certainly you sound extremely versed on this issue. I appreciate the data you brought to the table. In your estimation, based on research that it seems clear that you've done, this would seem an all-out assault by those in power on multiple levels, would it not, to you, from CV-19 to the aerosol operations? Would this be something you would categorize as an all-out assault at this point against populations?
Absolutely. It's a high crime. It is an assault on all life, and I believe it's an attempt at depopulation.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling in. Thank you for the information that you brought to the table, and hope to hear from you again. I'm sorry we're having technical difficulties. It's hard for me to hear you, but I got the gist of it.
No, you're fine. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very important information, again, that we're missing from mainstream media. What do we hear on the talking head shows that from all sides of the political fence, we just hear these circular official narrative type arguments that keep people focused on the political theater, keep their eyes off the wider horizon? And I would ask this question, and indeed I do at geoengineeringwatch.org again and again and again. How much will all this drama matter when the planet stops supporting life? And clearly there's orchestration from the top. It's not what it appears to be. And in fact, in our reality as a whole, almost nothing is what it would appear to be, in that we've been lied to at a level that's so extraordinary that it's difficult to comprehend, and most are unwilling to even try at this point. So this is where the search for other information is so imperative to determine that, you know, the level at which, again, that we're being deceived. I want to cover a couple quick questions that were sent to geoengineeringwatch.org. This one is from Thomas, and Thomas asks this: Dane, thank you for all you're doing. I appreciate your commitment to getting this information out to the public. It's early in the morning here in the central coast of California, and the temperature is reading 70 degrees at 5 a.m. That sounds extraordinarily high for California coast in the middle of winter. Thomas continues, I looked up the average high temperature for this time of year, which is 66 degrees. I know you have discussed it before, but can you talk about how warmer temperatures at night are a sign of what's happening overall? Thanks again, Thomas. Thank you for your question, Thomas. In regard to the lack of cooling off at night, that is an extraordinarily alarming harbinger of what's happening to our planet. And the buildup of gases on our planet at this point is pushing us into territory that we've never been in before. We have not just CO2, and that gas has been misunderstood intentionally by the power structure. Is CO2 necessary? I want to clear this argument up. Is CO2 necessary as a quote gas of life, as many call it? Of course. So is water. But if you're 10 feet underwater, it's not so good anymore. And that's the case with CO2 as well. When the levels are escalating as fast as they are now, organisms can't adapt to that. It's happening literally, mathematically, hundreds of times faster than at any previous point in our planet's history. And more importantly, there's other greenhouse gases, methane, nitrous oxide. Those are extraordinarily powerful greenhouse gases, and they are filling the atmosphere. In the case of methane, we have the Bermuda Triangle, which is a red flag indicator of the thawing methane deposits. They're formerly frozen methane deposits on the seafloor that are thawing because the oceans are warming so rapidly. And these deposits are releasing, migrating through the water column and entering the atmosphere, where they migrate then to the upper atmosphere and start to cover the planet like a layer of glass. That's why, back to this original question from Thomas, that's why nighttime temperatures are not cooling off. Further, the climate engineering operations themselves, again, the epitome of human insanity. There's no benevolence in these operations at all. It's about power and control. And it's about much more than climate engineering as well. But although they can cover the entire skyline with these light scattering particulates, which is the stated goal of solar radiation management, and we have Bill Gates and others right now pretending they're participating in climate engineering experiments that we may might have to do this someday. It's been going on for 70 years. But these particulates, although they can temporarily cool daytime high temperatures, they trap heat at night. Back to, again, Thomas's original question. And we see massive climate engineering operations occurring over the eastern Pacific, which is off of the U.S. west coast. That traps heat at night and thus the warmer temperatures along the coast. Further, we have ionosphere heater facilities. This is what HAARP is. Many have heard of HAARP. It's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. That acronym is not meant to mean anything the public can understand. It's an ionosphere heater. It's a ground-based, extremely powerful radio frequency microwave heater that is capable of heating layers of the atmosphere, like the ionosphere, to thousands of degrees Fahrenheit. This is science fact. What's the stated purpose of this installation militarily? To create a bulge in the atmosphere to create resistance for an incoming ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. But what else does HAARP do, and what is it actually being used for? In creating this bulge in the atmosphere, which pushes up and down, and that downward push can create zones of high pressure, which is what we have parked over California constantly. The meteorologists have termed this the ridiculously resilient ridge, which is blocking precipitation from California, and that downward pressure in the atmosphere creates heat as well. So we have all these combining factors which are turning the once golden state into a parched wasteland, and that is going to continue. So long as these programs are operational, that will continue. Geoengineeringwatch.org first began to bring this to light again over a decade ago in Northern California. We hope people go to the website, search the engineer drought section, and understand that even if we didn't have COVID anything, and COVID is a response, the power structure response to collapsing environments, those in power have long since been waging weather warfare, not just against other nations around the globe, but against our own population. And that's unfortunately the fact of the matter. We have another caller online right now. I want to grab that really quickly. I have a couple more. I have a few questions on the chat room I'll try to get to very quickly, too. Jared, it looks like we have Dave on the other line. Dave, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's very faint. We're having technical difficulties, Dave, but just try to speak as loudly as you can and go ahead.
Yeah, I would like to talk about the new term that they're throwing around, frozen fog, and that's what's constantly happening here in Iowa right now. It's 96% humidity, the white featureless dome, and just basically it's raining small little ice particles that just coat every surface, and you can see when you defrost your windshield, there's like a film on it, so it's, you know, you can have a perfectly clean windshield, and then the next morning when that frost, it looks like you had lived on a gravel road, and there's that much debris inside that frost, and it's just, they're going to destroy us at the rate they're going, and this is the only way I think they can try to keep the Midwest cool down, is to just constantly spray us with chemicals to cool us down and keep moisture in the air. What are your thoughts on that?
Dave, that's an extraordinarily important question. Patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. That's the term that's on some of the patents. We have long patents listed at geoengineeringwatch.org. Some of these patents have existed in that case for that patent, or the chemical ice nucleation methods have existed since at least 1950. And for the listeners, what that entails is spraying cloud moisture with endothermic reacting elements, i.e. energy-absorbing elements, which creates a cold, dense layer of air in the cloud, which then descends to the surface, creates a cold air in the surface, which lowers temperatures, which allows them to sensationalize headlines of cold, cold, cold on a planet that's in total meltdown. And that's exactly what they do. But it appears now that they are so desperate, they are nucleating every bit of moisture they can. We've seen the same type of cold air here in Northern California, Dave. It's very anomalous. Your breath sometimes fogs so much it looks like you just took a puff off something. And even when the temperatures are not that low, there seems to be also a strange odor in the air, and you have this very unnatural feeling cold. And, yes, with the frozen fog, with all the constant ice storms now, that we have weather disseminating agencies like the Weather Channel and their paid disinformation actors – trying to explain away scenarios that are the result of climate engineering, explaining them away as if they're somehow natural. Dave, have you seen, I don't know if you watch Weather Channel, but have you seen some of the meteorologists try to explain away why there is now a warm side of a quote winter storm and a cold side of a winter storm, and there's generally an ice storm strip in between the two where these materials are reaching the surface before they set up? Have you seen that type of scenario ever portrayed on Weather Channel, for example?
I no longer watch the Weather Channel due to the actors that are on it, but I can see the warm side and the cold side by using the radar on my phone and moving it around, and you can see that. Because we just got another little storm. I don't know if they named it or not, but it started off as rain, just like it always does, coats all the ground, and then there's just direct lines you can see on the radar where it goes from rain to snow, and it can be 35 degrees. And then it'll start snowing, and you can just see that it's completely not normal. And I don't need to have the television tell me anything, because that's nothing but a mind control game, or it's just useless. The TV is just useless anymore.
It is. I understand your point on that. I certainly agree with you. The only purpose for me in watching that is to see exactly what sort of narrative they're feeding the population so that I can better understand their approach and why so many in the population are unwilling to even look at the data or to use their sense of reason at how radically things have changed from what they were in decades past now, because these changes have come on slowly and people just accept them as normally. It's the weather in Northern California is completely different than it was even 15 years ago. The landscape that was lush 15 to 20 years ago, lots of wildlife, insect life, so forth. It's desolate now. The silence in the forest is absolutely deafening. And yet people go on about their lives as if nothing is wrong. If we don't have habitat, we're done. The human race is done. And it's certainly disturbing to see people like those at the Weather Channel pushing the narratives they push, which are clearly simply an attempt to cover the tracks of climate engineering. And in regard to the temperatures themselves and the ice nucleating process, geoengineeringwatch.org recovered photographs from military archives of U.S. submarines at the North Pole in February of 1959 in open water. Now, how can that be? Because the meltdown was that intense even then, and they have since then done sea surface ice nucleation that creates a slush on the surface of the ice to create the perception of more sea ice being there than there actually is to try to mask the severity of the problem, and in doing so, actually further fueling the problem. Same with chemical ice nucleation engineered cool downs. And by the way, Dave, I'm not sure if you've ever seen or looked it up, but the Chinese were openly carrying out chemical ice nucleating operations over their country. Popular Science and I believe Fox News covered that. If you search Chinese scientists engineer snowstorm, listeners, you can find that that was admitted to, although they're covering up now because they did $1 billion worth of damage to Beijing. So the chemical ice nucleation operation is a primary tool in the climate engineering toolbox that's used to create the illusion of winter on a planet that's in total meltdown. Dave, I have another final question for you. I think you might have we might have discussed this on a previous broadcast, but are you seeing the trees there where you're at with foliated with dead leaves that just hang on the trees?
Yes, all over the place, in my backyard in particular. We talked about this last week. And people just, they don't want to know anything, I personally believe, when you talk about trying to wake people up. I talk with people all the time about, do you remember when we were kids here in Iowa, we would get snow after Thanksgiving, and it would stay here until we had a spring melt. And we could snowmobile and have fun and play outside, big caves, all kinds of stuff, and big drifts. None of that weather occurs anymore. When we do get snow here now, it's that really wet, heavy snow that it's obviously just, you know, all chemically ice nucleated, and it all melts because then they can't keep it cold enough to keep the snow around. And people are just like, yeah, you know, I kind of like it that we don't get snow anymore. And it's just they're not aware. And the same thing when you were just talking about insects. I go camping every weekend, and typically you're always just slapping the mosquitoes, you know, and I'm not a fan of mosquitoes, but this summer there were hardly any mosquitoes there, and we all talked about it openly there. And it's just like, what do you think's going on with that? You know, why do we not have any bugs? And people are just like, oh, I don't know. I never did like mosquitoes. You know, and it's just they don't want to wake up and they don't want to even use their head to look at previous history, you know, that their own experiences had. And there's going to be no waking up of some people. You just simply cannot do it. They don't want to be.
I understand what you're up against, and I've been banging my head against that wall for a very long time, and I certainly understand your frustration, especially now, Dave, with all the political drama that's being engineered, and again, people caught up in whatever side of the fence they're on, missing the point that this is all part of the theater to distract us from the wider horizon. And to put this in statistical terms, how near term is the total collapse of environments? We have, based on statistical data, 0 hour for no functional wildlife left on planet Earth is 2026. Now, that sounds impossible to people to hear that figure. But we look back statistically right now over the last 40 years, we've lost 70% of Earth's wildlife populations in 40 years. 70%. Global insect populations down right now, 80 to 90%. How long do we really think we'll be here at that rate of decline? Not long. Just because Walmart's open and McDonald's is selling Big Macs doesn't mean that the planet can continue. When there's no habitat, we're done. Dave, thank you so much for your input, for your observations. Hope you call back again. And let's keep sounding the alarm no matter what. Even those that don't listen, you're still planting the seed. And when they're forced to face reality, they'll have the dots they need to connect in order to understand what's happening and why. I want to get to – thank you for calling, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you for everything you do, Dane.
Team effort. Team effort, Dave. Question on the chat. RT – this is from Curious Mind. RT just posted that China has admitted that they are carrying on with the whole geoengineering gambit. Also have figured out fusion. The report said they can affect the size of India with its operation, i.e. climate engineering. Now, again, China may have admitted something that they're doing currently, but it's been going on for 70-plus years with global cooperation. That's something people need to understand. All major governments are colluding and cooperating not just on climate engineering but also on CV19. Again, as was pointed out by the caller at the beginning of this broadcast, we have peer-reviewed science study to prove the CV19 gain-of-function characteristic was engineered in a lab with funding from the NIH and Anthony Fauci's National Allergy and Infectious Diseases Organization, $7.4 million in funding. That's where the gain of function came from. That's how this virus jumped to humans. And governments around the globe absolutely know this. They're all going along with the script because they all know that their populations can no longer be supported. They know this. This is absolutely a global concerted effort with governments that the American populations perceive to be, and other populations perceive to be, adversarial. And in the case of climate engineering, we have Senate documents as long as 800 pages posted at geoengineeringwatch.org going back many decades that specifically discuss the global cooperation with, in that case, climate engineering, because of the cross-border ramifications. You can't just modify the weather over your own country without affecting the entire world. And the same with China. And with this question that just came in from Curious Mind, and China stating they can modify weather over that larger region, they just changed the weather over the entire planet. But the fact is, all governments, most especially our own, being the biggest military in the planet by far, are neck deep in these operations. And the ramifications are grave indeed. If you think that there's due concern, and there is, about the experimental COVID-19 vaccination, consider they are doing the same thing to the entire planet at this point. A grand and lethal experiment from which there is no return that they committed the entire human race to without their knowledge or without their consent. Jared, I believe we have Maciek on the line. Maciek, do you have a question? And thank you for calling in.
Hi, Dane. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but just speak as loud as you can because we're definitely
having okay. Yeah, I speak closer. I speak closer to the microphone. Yeah, I called and I wanted to back all the points of your caller, and especially when Dave was on the line, I just want to back him up because it just happened yesterday. So that was this scenario. So it was about perhaps 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which should be and would be, you know, the warmest part of the day, and I'm here in Southwest Virginia, you know, by the Cumberland Gap, and it was 41 degrees, and it was fairly clear, and then the sky covered pretty suddenly, and I've heard like a loud sound of a jet, several of them, and within 15 minutes, and mind you, it was 41 degrees, and within 15 minutes, there is like this intense, well, I wouldn't call it the snow, I wouldn't call it a hail. It was white, but we know that the snowflakes, naturally, they kind of hexagonal, they pretty regular shape, you know, if you look at them. And that had nothing like that. It was basically like a blob of a white mass, you know, of a rounded, but a various sizes, very intense, wasn't long-lasting, maybe 15, 20 minutes, didn't even manage to cover the ground. And then within that time, I went look at the thermometer, and it drops to 37. So it dropped 4 degrees, you know. So basically from that. So that was just like typical example. It occurred like very unnatural and very odd to me. And then all the, you know, I cannot prove, obviously, that it was unnatural. But the all factors were in place, you know. Just like you would expect if it was manipulated. So I just basically wanted to make that point.
Very important point, Maciek. Very important point. And we have proven that it is unnatural. We've tested the snow, including snow that occurred in Reading, I believe, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. We took samples, tested at the local lab, and tested at a university lab back east. The local lab underreported the amount of aluminum in that snow by 400%. There was actually... Mm-hmm. 400 parts per billion of aluminum in the snow. There were surfactants in the snow. These are all elements that we know are part of climate engineering patents. So we have proven that these sudden anomalous cool downs are, in fact, unnatural, are engineered. We can see on satellite imagery as well these aircraft dispersing over the cloud cover. So there's no question this is going on, and we're simply trying to wake the population up to the fact that if the planet's life support systems are being intervened at this level, then at that point, are we not completely vulnerable to those in power? As Johnson said at the start of former U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, at the start of every Global Alert News broadcast, which is our weekly update at geoengineeringwatch.org, in 1962 he said, "He who controls the weather controls the world." And indeed that's happening, and now we have CV19 as well. So thank you for those observations, Maciek. Very appreciated, very important for people to understand that these sudden anomalous cool downs are not nature, not natural. I want to get quickly, I have another caller in the line. Thank you so much for calling in, Maciek. Sean, if you can hang on a minute, I want to answer a couple questions from the chat room. Briefly, guest number 704-1562 asks, what caused the 4-year drought in the late 70s? And then this guest asks, conditions were much worse than now. It may have seemed worse in the 70s, but statistically it wasn't even close to what's occurring now. We have statistical data now to prove that the current drought in Northern California is the worst it's been for 1,200 years or more. So that's what the science data states now. In the 70s, again, consider that climate engineering operations have been fully deployed since just after World War II. So there was nothing natural about that drought in the 70s either. We don't know when we had truly natural weather or how far back it was or how many people alive today ever experienced truly natural weather. All forms of human activity, by the way, that interfere with the Earth's natural processes, with its thermal energy balance, its hydrological cycle, all forms of human activity are a form of geoengineering. The specific intent to modify Earth's climate is the worst of all, of course. But the planet or the atmosphere doesn't know the difference between a particle from a smokestack or an exhaust pipe or being spewed out of the back of a geoengineering jet. So all of that is interfering with Earth's natural processes. But in fact, the cutoff of precipitation now is in fact much worse than what was occurring in the 70s, much more protracted, and they can cut our rainfall off as long as they choose. I want to answer another kind of a hostile question here on the chat. SunGold79 says they had been hearing this for decades. Who are they? Obviously, this person hasn't done any research because we've answered that question many times. What kinds of planes are they? We have film footage of them, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17 Globemasters, and commercial aircraft. We have up close to answer the questions for this person, again, who seems very upset. perhaps sitting on the sideline and doing nothing themselves to move the ball forward, but criticizing those who are trying to. And we get a lot of that because for a lot of people, they would rather throw stones from the sidelines than actually get involved. And I hope this individual considers getting involved instead of throwing bricks at the rest of us. So we have all this at geoengineeringwatch.org. That's the purpose of our site. We have every question on this particular chat room comment is answered at our site, including up-close film footage of the aircraft spraying at altitude, nozzles visible. And in regard to they ask who are they, we've answered that question more times than I can also remember. We have those who print the money. That is ultimately the they at the top of the food chain. Those who print the money, those who control the central bankers, control militaries, thus they control countries. That is the they at the top of the food chain. And when we ask this, a final question to ask on this comment, and I hope this commenter looks at the data at geoengineeringwatch.org, we have about 2,600 separate posts. We've answered all these questions, but again, a lot of people that are very critical have never actually bothered to look at that data themselves. They keep asking the same questions over and over, which we keep answering over and over. So as far as why would they do this to themselves, we answer that question again and again. Let's stop and consider what, quote, they have done to themselves already that we know. We know they, again, those at the top of the food chain, participated and facilitated the detonation of over 2,000 nuclear bombs on planet Earth. That contaminated the entire planet and every living thing. That's a given. And they contributed to the nuclear arsenals, which are big enough now to mathematically kill off the human race about 10,000 times over. We're not dealing with sanity here. Now let's look at nuclear power. We have Fukushima that by itself is an ELE, an extinction level event. We have three reactors melting into the core of the planet right now. There's no technology to fix that, no end in sight. How many Americans think that Fukushima is fixed? Could not be further from the truth, and we're building 60 more nuke plants right now around the world. We have about 440 in existence. I know these facts. I know these figures because this is all I do. So I hope this person, again, that made this comment, please actually do some research instead of throwing bricks from the sideline, and maybe you can help to move this ball up the field now instead of being critical without investigating. I'm only asking you to investigate. So the other 440 nuclear plants takes about 2 to 4 decades to cold shut them down. As society collapses, and that's coming, it's a given, it's a mathematical certainty, there's nothing that will stop that at this point. We're going to have about 440 Fukushimas on our hands. What happens then? I don't think anybody really wants to answer that question. Let me get to on the phone line first. We had Sean. Sean, are you there? Can you hear me and can you speak loudly?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you good. Go ahead.
Great. Dane, thanks for taking my call. And I might be able to help answer that your last question that the gentleman asked. But at any rate, I'm a Navy combat veteran. I served over in Somalia and Mogadishu during the Gulf War in the Middle East. We got about 4,000 helicopter flight hours during my missions. I graduated with honors from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. I've got a degree in professional aeronautics. And so when I look up in the sky and I see what I know is not normal or natural, I started digging into this stuff about 5 years ago. I saw it first in California, and then I moved up to Wyoming in Cheyenne. And so I opened started a nonprofit, looked into government accountability and whatnot. And it got so bad up here with this engineering that's all my organization does now. There's a few of us do this research. And we track, document, and photograph weather modification aircraft from northern Colorado, basically from the Denver International Airport, west to the Rocky Mountains, all the way up to Cheyenne, and then east over to the Nebraska border. And then as far west as the Medicine Bow National Forest, some of the most beautiful forests you've ever seen. At times, when they're doing this engineering operation, it's getting really bad up here. The Rocky Mountains from I-25, which would be about a 25-mile view, it looks like they're on fire. The same with the Medicine Bow National Forest and the Vida Movement National Forest. It's disgusting how bad it's getting. On Wednesday, we had really bad operations going on for the day before and on Wednesday. I'm talking about geoengineering or weather modification operations. We had wind gusts on the base up here at F.E. Warren of 104 miles per hour. That's not normal. Is it unheard of? No. But coupled with everything else that we're getting, it's absolutely not right. Now, I've put FOIA requests in when I see these aircraft zigzagging back and forth. I'll track them on flight radar.
Sean, can you explain what a FOIA request is? Our listeners might not know. That's a Freedom of Information Act request. I just wanted to make that clear. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. The FOIA request, you put a FOIA request in it to different government agencies and say, I'm requesting this information on whatever it is. Well, I have latitude, longitude of aircraft that are coming within thousands of feet of each other, so I see whatever their altitude is, what their headings are, and I can observe them, photograph them, and they're near miss collisions in the air. And I know with my military and aviation background that they can't do that. There's CAS systems that would make them avoid each other, yet they don't care. They're involved in their operations. They're doing their own thing. So I put FOIA requests in for the FAA, EPA, Department of Defense, United States Air Force, NOAA's heavily involved, NASA, and the Navy. And they're all aware of what's going on. They all have the same answers for you. They're going to say, oh, that's condensation show. That's condensation. It's absolute nonsense. And I think hopefully people are starting to see this because they don't seem to care anymore that they're exposing themselves. However, they're all on the same sheet of music. And the last question you had, who's doing this? Who's doing it? Well, being a military guy, if my commanding officer comes up and says, hey, you want to be involved in a special program to save the world? You want to fly big aircraft, where you're sitting in front of the nose gear? Sure, I'm signing up. Well, I'm not personally, but that's what these young guys are doing. And they think they're saving the world. Now, I've tracked commercial and military aircraft that were involved working in unison together. Somebody's coordinating this. You ask who? Well, I'm guessing the Department of Defense, U.S. Air Force, NOAA, NASA. And these aircraft are commercial. They are all the aircraft that you've mentioned. And then there's a whole host of aircraft that are owned by military contractors, which are the smaller Learjet type, the Honda jets, the Cessna business jet aircraft. And I've observed these aircraft. They'll go up there and they'll leave a little stringer. And I'm sure everybody's seen these. It's like a mile-long trail. And then you'll see another one come by, and they'll make an X up in the sky. And lo and behold, an hour, hour and a half later, you've got a chemical haze above you where this crap is all coming down. I'm sorry, excuse my language. This stuff's all settling down. We're all breathing it. So it's not a matter of if it's happening. It's happening. Who's doing it? The government's involved with it. And I just got one more thing before. I don't want to take up all your time on the air here. But did you know that back in the 90s, I was stationed out in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I was part of a search and rescue program out there. Our sister unit, VXD-6, which was up in Antarctica, they helped with the Science Foundation up there. Those guys were actually talking about Al Gore had some program where they were laying gigantic sheets of plastic down on the ice to try and reflect sunlight back out into space. This is a while back. And it turns out all this plastic that they spent millions and millions of dollars of man hours out there rolling this plastic out like carpet, keeping the ice from melting, supposedly. Well, the next year they come out, all the plastic ended up in the ocean. And obviously, I think it was a nonsensical type of thing for them to do at any rate.
Clearly on that, we have that type of futile effort being made, I would argue, that is simply to distract the population from the lethal operations that are occurring in our skies. We have polymer fibers being used in climate engineering operations as well. Those fibers showing up everywhere from Mount Everest to other high regions around the globe. They're ubiquitous. So we have the source of plastic from so many sites and sources, but I would argue, again, some of these, quote, ice-preserving operations simply meant for theater, ultimately, to distract people from the climate engineering. Sean, before I let you go, I have a question for you. As a former military personnel member, in your opinion, based on what you see right now, we have the political theater, everything that we're anticipating for next week to happen in that theater, all the planned and further fueled civil strife unraveling, and all of that against the backdrop of planetary, the environmental collapse scenario, based on all your knowledge as a military member, would you, in your estimation, say that our bigger problem, or the problem they're trying to distract us from, is the fact that the climate, the biosphere, is imploding, and everything else at this point, including CV-19 as a response to that imploding environment, your assessment of that, would you consider the backdrop of biosphere collapse to be the bottom line? That's my question.
It is, and I don't give up. I'm a fighter, but I'm, from what I've seen, my observations, I'm afraid the train's not going to have time to stop before it hits the wall. That's my opinion.
Well, certainly, all available data indicates that. So again, I'm trying to get people to look past the orchestrated distractions and understand that we are about to find ourselves on a planet that doesn't support life. Gene, I know you're on. If you're still online too, I want to get to you. Sean, thank you so much for your observations. As a former military member, it's incredibly important for people to hear those kinds of observations and that they understand that, again, we face far more grave and immediate threats than that which the mainstream media would have us focus on. So thank you for calling in. Sean, I'm going to try to get to Gene if Gene's still on the phone.
Real quick, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I beg all my brothers and sisters in the military right now, I beg you guys, you guys know what's going on. Somebody needs to blow the whistle. There's enough support out here. You will get support. Somebody's got to stop. Somebody's got to blow the whistle on this thing. We've got to stop this now. But tomorrow's too late. So I beg you guys. All right. Thank you for that statement, Sean.
And again, that is our point and purpose at GeoEngineeringWatch.org. If there's one leap we can take in the right direction at this late hour, we have to stop interfering with the planet's life support systems, contaminating every breath we take. Nothing benevolent in these programs. The single greatest leap we could take in the right direction is to expose and halt the insanity in our skies and allow the planet to respond on its own to the damage done. But thank you for that appeal to our military brothers and sisters, Sean. Thanks for calling in. Gene, are you still on the line?
This is Pete Peterson's show?
No, you are on the wrong station.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. Have a great day anyway for calling in, Gene. I want to get to another question that we have, and this question is from John. This was sent directly to geoengineeringwatch.org. Here's the question. Approximately how long, John asks, will it be before the toxicity of the geoengineering being conducted will become irreversible in the human genetic pool? And what are some of the possible outcomes of this toxic filth that is being dumped into our skies? The list of downstream consequences, John, is immense, and some known and many other effects unknown. It is derailing the entire web of life. As far as the damage as a whole to the planet, statistically speaking, mathematically speaking, the damage done, and not just from climate engineering, from countless forms of human activity, we have certainly been incredibly poor stewards of this planet. The damage done already is irreversible in any time frame that matters. And I know that's something that very few want to hear, and I get a lot of criticism for that I should say something more positive. But the bottom line is it's populations that look through the world look at the world through a rose-colored lens, because that's what we're trained to do. That's much of the reason why we're in this position, because very few have been willing to look squarely at the truth and to provide for it. Does that mean there's nothing worth fighting for? No, it doesn't mean that. We can possibly still preserve some of the planet's life support systems for the long run, but the damage done – and let me put this into time frames. If we compare to previous paleo events in Earth's past, like the Paleocene, Eocene thermal maximum about 55 million years ago, mass extinction on the planet, and by the way, we are far into the sixth mass extinction right now. But the equilibrium period after the Petum event, for example, was about 10 to 20 million years. That's a long time. Many people mistakenly believe that you can just shut things off or start building solar panels and driving electric vehicles and everything will be fine. That could not be further from the truth. And the notion that an electric vehicle is environmentally friendly could not be further from the truth. Even a solar panel is not environmentally friendly. I have a background in that industry. My home is off-grid. I have a large solar system. I have wind and hydropower, all of which are being severely negatively impacted by climate engineering, by the way, which if you live in the North State, you know that we have less sun, unobstructed sun. We have the mostly sunny days, which is meteorologists reading a script for the climate engineers when we have days filled with the jet-sprayed filth in our skies. That's a mostly sunny day. And we have less wind and less rain. So all three forms of renewable energy are highly impacted by climate engineering. But although a solar panel is better than burning fossil fuel directly, there are many negatives with renewable energy. Solar panel production requires chemicals like hexafluorethane. It's 17,000 times more potent a greenhouse gas than CO2. How environmentally friendly is that? In electric vehicles, the batteries, home power batteries, all of those are highly toxic, difficult to recycle. It's not a panacea. And those who want to know about so-called renewable energy, I'll get back to the, you know, again, answering John's original question, but watch a film, search online and watch a film, Planet of the Humans, and that is about renewable energy and the fact that it is anything but a saving factor, if you will. And in that film, at the 40-minute mark, they show a blowing field of sand in the middle of Mojave Desert where the original commercial solar plant in the U.S. was built. I worked on that plant. Nothing there now. Gone. So bottom line is you can't just burn up all the fossil fuels, switch to, quote, renewables, and think you're going to live happily ever after. It's not going to happen. And you could shut all forms of human activity off right now, and we are through the guardrail. The planet we've known is done, gone, not coming back. And I can't express this enough, too. I need to drive this point home. The equation we face is unimaginably nonlinear. It is exponential to a degree that can scarcely be comprehended, which means you can't look backward at a graph and as many in the science community do, unfortunately, they're paid and programmed to do this. You can't look backward at a graph and project that same trajectory forward. You can't do that because the equation, again, is nonlinear, which to further translate means that what's happening is happening at such an incredible rate that we do not have much time left. Feedback loops are triggered that feed on themselves now. So this is a bit like seeing the fuse on a stick of dynamite, and you can project how fast that fuse is burning and think you have a certain amount of time. But when that fuse hits the dynamite itself, which is the point we're at now, that's where the story ends, and we are at that point now. So in regard to the toxicity that's building up in our bodies, John, from your question, very difficult to get rid of, very bioavailable, which means it's easy to absorb, but very, very difficult to get rid of. So you can chelate, and anyone listening can go to Orchard Nutrition. They have some very qualified nutritionalists there that can help you chelate to try to get some of these metals out of our bodies, but they're building up in all of us. They're affecting our cognitive ability. They're affecting our health in countless ways. This is where the climate engineering assault must also be considered a biological assault because these elements at minimum are toxic. And we ask this question repeatedly at geoengineeringwatch.org. We want the listeners to ponder this. Why would we think that those in power wouldn't use these atmospheric aerosol spraying platforms to also distribute biological elements, especially when we know that even as of 1977, I believe, as of record, the U.S. military had conducted 239 open-air biological tests over U.S. populations, innocent U.S. populations, without their knowledge or their consent. This is business as usual. They do whatever they want because they can, and we need to wake up our military brothers and sisters, as Sean stated and pleaded with and asked. We need to wake them up so that they understand what they're participating with is not benevolent, is not for the benefit of their countrymen. It's simply a form of genocide. And when we add the totality of damage climate engineering is doing to the planet, it's actually a form of omnicide, which means the end of all life on our planet. That's how serious our situation is. So what I would appeal to listeners to at this point in time is to understand the backdrop of what's happening, why it's happening, why the CV-19 scenario has been released on populations to lock them down, to control them, to thin the herd. It's all related to the backdrop of biosphere collapse, and that's accelerating by the day. Please go to geoengineeringwatch.org, examine the data that's there, educate yourself, help to educate others, understand that we are quite literally in a fight for life. We have tools there that can be used to wake those around you. Printed materials are much more effective than anything you can state verbally. We have materials at Orchard Nutrition for free that you can pick up there, pass on to your neighbors. We also have again, you can order those from our home site as well. So until next week, we're just about out of time. My thanks to the callers that called in. Avery, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, and I know you're on the line there too. Perhaps you can call in next week. But until next week, let's keep sounding the alarm. Let's make every day count. This is Dane Wigginton with Geoengineering Watch.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.